Hey, it's Beth here. Okay, this is over 65 and talking, still talking, way into my 6 week of isolation, but it's episode 96. It's April 20th, 2020. 2020 vision. I remembered something. There was a place I always wanted to go. Yeah, the Galapagos Islands, I get it. I wanted to go to Russia in the winter. I wanted to see Moscow in the snow. I wanted to see Dr. Zhivago's planes. Just the whole David Lean looking world of Russia in the snow, the only time to go. Well, that one didn't even get off the ground. I have to do it because I'm in love with Russian authors. First Tolstoy, love him. And this is funny. And then, of course, Pasternak. I mean, Dr. Zhivago, forget it. So the interesting thing is that Tolstoy was friends with Pasternak's father. They were very, very close friends. And actually, Pasternak's father was a great, great artist. They were very wealthy. And Tolstoy used him to illustrate his books. And he was always very late on arrival for he would always not get his books in on time, and he wouldn't even be able to tell Pasternak what the pictures were supposed to look like. So little Boris remembers his father drawing frantically, and the conductor of the train, which was a very big deal, would be waiting at the door of their house for the illustrations, and then he would rush them off to Tolstoy and then to the publisher to get them on time and done. I didn't know they were friends. That is so cool. So the greatest thing of all is Pasternak's real story and the real story of his love affair with Olga. And I didn't know, I mean, I did know that they were in love and she became his sort of equal, like Will and Ariel Durant. He met her, I think she was a waitress, and then she became his equal. The same thing happened with Olga. She was translating poetry. That's how he was making his living at the time, because most of his books and poetry wasn't that great. He was not wealthy enough to just do what he wanted to do. He had a little shop where he did jobs for other people. She became better at translating poetry than he was. And she was nothing. She had a little job. So he said that he could tell that she was intelligent beyond belief by looking in her eyes. I think that's cool. So they were madly in love. It was a little bit bad because he was married. I usually can't stand that, but in Russia, when in Russia, do as the Russians do, I suppose. I'm over it. So because of what Olga did, she really did love him. She was when he was getting bigger, too big for his britches, you would say. Olga was arrested, and she was going to get 10 years in prison. And I don't know if they tortured her or just bugged her, but she never released any information about Boris because that's what they wanted. They wanted to put him in jail for life, and they knew that she would give up secrets, and she never did. And she went to jail, and he never did. And he knew that. So he'd written some chapters of Dr. Zhivago, but then he got really into it as a tribute to her life. So she got out of jail, and Dr. Zhivago was a masterpiece, but it wouldn't be published in Russia. Word got out about it, and this publisher from Italy came up, and they smuggled it out, and it became a huge sensation, like a masterpiece. And he was going to be up for the Nobel Prize in Literature, and he didn't want it because it was going to hurt his family. And he was getting sicker and sicker just worrying about this. And Olga told him not to go to Oslo and get the prize. And he knew it was the right decision, but it kind of broke him. And the Russians were going to put him in jail anyway. And Nehru, the Prime Minister of India, came in and rescued him. I mean, it was Nikita Khrushchev. This is all my life. I mean, this is my childhood. This was happening when I was a child. I had no idea until the timing never seemed current with my life. It always seemed like he came from another time, but he really didn't. So that's how Dr. Zhivago got out. That's why I have got to go. I've just got to go. And I've got to see it in the winter because it's more beautiful. It should be seen in the winter, just like Miami Beach should be seen in the summer. Oh, it's always summer there. Nantucket should be seen in the summer, or other places like the Netherlands should be seen during tulip season. Russia needs to be seen in the winter. So I've invited Kit on this trip because I had to go to the Galapagos Islands. So we're going on this luxury train trip all the way through Siberia to Mongolia. And we start in Moscow. I'm dying. This is my dream come true. And we're in an imperial suite, of course, because I'm rich. I'm totally loaded. Best, and actually the floor is, they warm the floor. We've got our own private butler, this huge room. We can eat our meals in there. Everything's great. We arrive, and there's Dom Perignon right there in our room, and caviar, Bellinis. I'm in heaven. Absolutely in heaven. Robes, everything warm, 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 toasty, toasty. And when we get off at all our stops, everybody gets clothing that you need in Russia because we can't buy furs anymore in America. Fur coats, fur hats, fur boots. And it's not for gorgeousness, although it is gorgeous. It's because it's freezing. I'm ready. I'm ready. We get to Moscow. Everything's great. I've got to go see Pasternak's house. I get there. It's just like I imagined it would be. It's beautiful. I can feel him there. Everything's great. Then I see the Kremlin, and it's in the snow, and everybody in Russia's cold. It's just like it's supposed to be, oppressively freezing and beautiful. I'm so happy. So, you know, Moscow's done. We get on our train, which I'm dying to do, and we are heading to Kazan, which is a city like this always happens on tours. There's nothing there. There's no Kazan. Kazan, okay? So, who cares? It's nice. Get my little outfit on, take a walk, everything's great. I can't wait to get back on my train because all I'm doing is Bellinis and caviar, and they call it Champensky. Champensky. That's champagne in Russian. Or just for me. Maybe it's a joke. I don't care. I love it. And Stroganoff. Day and night, this is what I'm eating. This is what I'm doing. Loving my trip so far. We get back on the train. Sleeping through the night like a baby on trains, especially in these circumstances. And then we get to Ekaterinburg. Berg. Okay. So this is a great city. And it's got one foot in Asia and one foot in Europe. So it's right there. And it was founded by Peter the Great. And it's in the Ural Mountains. What more do you want? Everything's going great till our private tour in our private car. The tour guide turns around and he says, he's going to take us on a poignant tour. I'm like, poignant? I don't like the word poignant. Poignant tour always means that somebody like Bambi got shot. Like, that's what it means. I'm like, no, take me on another tour. So he says, no, ha, ha, ha. He thinks I'm laughing. I'm not. Of course, who died? And I should have been waiting for this or expecting this. I just didn't care about any other cities but Mongolia and Moscow. But this is the city where the Tsar Nicholas and his family were captured, kept for 78 days, and then murdered. And I'm going to see this whole thing. And now it's a church. But I've got some interesting stories about this because his wife, Alex of Hesse, she was Queen Victoria's favorite granddaughter. And Queen Victoria did not want her to marry this guy because she didn't trust Russia. She knew it was going to go wrong. But Alex was so in love with Nicholas that she did it anyway. And it's funny because I knew this very wealthy woman who lived right across the street from Central Park in a huge apartment. And she was so rich that her husband bought her a publishing company. And she said she was a publisher. And one of the books, she had books and things all over her house. And in one bedroom, she had all these pictures that were from like the 1900s. And they were pictures of this family with the British royal family, and they were playing on the beach. And they were so beautiful. She was going to make a book about it. I don't know if she ever did. From this woman's private collection of family portraits. And it's just so sad because it went so different for the English relatives, and Queen Victoria was right. But the thing is, there's a little caveat because, okay, Alex had what Queen Victoria had, which was they were carriers of hemophilia. She gave it to her only son, Alexei, which is very, very sad, and we had to protect him, and he couldn't even get cut. Nice kid, cute kid. But that wasn't what was so bad. What was so bad was her reputation was ruined because she encouraged her husband to resist the autocratic surrender. He was given a choice, and she begged him and made him not accept that choice, the autocratic surrender, because she was devoted to Rasputin. And that stupid idiot told her that he knew everything and he could read the tea leaves and everything was going to be fine. So, you know, Queen Victoria didn't want her to marry Nicholas. What did Nicholas's grandmother say? Don't marry that crazy British girl. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She doesn't understand Russia. Probably the same thing. You know, it's very hard to be on a side, that's for sure. So, anyway, that's really sad. And but the city is very, very beautiful. And so that was fun. So then we get back on my train because that's what I want to do because I'm dying. I'm just so impatient. I want to get to Mongolia. But we get to this other place called Novosibirsk. Novosibirsk. Okay, I have to spit it out. Novosibirsk. Okay, now that's a modern city, so boo, here we go again. There's really nothing up here in this section of Russia, so it's hard to find anything. So anyway, the people are nice and friendly, and I'm wearing all my clothes. There's an opera house, of course, and there's a statue of Lenin. Big deal. Back on board. They don't even have good food here. Back on board. Okay, I don't care. I'm on my luxury trip. I'm in my imperial suite. I've got everything I want and a big picture window, and it is getting Dr. Zhivago-y, really fabulous looking. I mean, amazing. So then we get to this next place. View all day, all night. Just snow and planes, and you can almost see them heading to the Ice Palace. You really can. So of course I'm drinking copious amounts of everything because they just keep giving it to me, and I don't want to be impolite. So, and that's probably why I'm seeing things. Who cares? It's great things I'm seeing. So then we get to the next place, and it's Irkutsk. That's how you say it. Irkutsk. I heard a girl do it. Irkutsk. Okay, this is the Paris of Siberia. Now, that would have made me laugh, but I got my comeuppance one time because I was going with a friend to the Nantucket of Wisconsin. Now that sounds funny. The Nantucket of Wisconsin. Come on, say it. You can't even say it. It's too funny. But it's called Door County. And it actually was more beautiful than Nantucket. And the people were great. So I suspend snobbery and disbelief. And I enter the city. And it is absolutely gorgeous. Just to die for, gorgeous. And we've got our little tour guide again. Another one. Looks like the other one. All in tuxedos. Because we're in like a Mercedes. I think, but it's a Russian Mercedes. So it's a Mercedes. Whatever they call it. Anyway, great guy. And he tells me we're going to go on a poignant tour. I'm like, no. No, I know I'm in Russia, but come on. Didn't anything good happen here? So my poignant tour this time is about the Decembrists. He takes me to this museum. He takes us to this museum. Kids actually having a good time because there's heat. The heaters are amazing all over Russia. So we get to the museum, and it's dedicated to the aristocrats who were exiled to Siberia in 1825 with a failed uprising. Those were the lucky ones. most of them were executed. So, you know, there's a Champinski and a concert later on in the evening, but I've got to go to this Decemberists Museum, the Decemberists. The way it happened was the Russians got a victory over Napoleon, went straight to their heads. They were called a world power. You can't say that to some people. They just get, they get crazy and loopy and nutty. And that's what happened in Russia. So it was 1825 when this happened. Lots of discontent, lots of secret societies, lots of intellectuals thinking this is the moment to pounce because the Emperor Alexander did not give the reign of his country to his oldest brother, Constantine. He gave it to his younger brother, Nicholas. This caused a commotion all over the country. So the Decemberists felt that this was the moment to pounce. And so they did, and they had this huge uprising, and they were very surprised that the army was loyal to the emperor. So that was really surprising and very sad. So, and a lot of them died. The ones that went up to this place were very happy, okay? Just thank you very much. So, then we get back on my train, which I love every single second of. I mean, it's really, this is the best, because it's got a lush feel to it. You know, it's not sleek and modern, it's clubby and velvet. That's what it is. So, back on board, and everything's getting more Dr. Zhivago-y out the window. Day 8, we're at Lake Baikal, which is this unbelievable, deepest lake in the world. And like 20% of the water comes from this place. This is like one hell of a lake. And the train keeps winding on the edges of mountains, and everything's snow-capped. And it's just the most beautiful, surreal sight you've ever seen. So I'm in such a good mood, and you know, I'm still drinking because I'm not driving. And I thought that's how it went. Like, you can't drink and drive, but you can drink and not drive, or you should drink and not drive. That's what I thought. So here I am having a ball and really enjoying when vodka is freezing cold. It's delicious. So they say, do you want to go ice fishing? And I say, sure. Like, what? And then they say, do you want to have smoked fish in a smokehouse? And I'm like, of course I do. Who doesn't? And they say, served with, and I'm like, iced vodka? And they say, yes. I'm like, I'm so in. They dress me up in that crazy outfit, out the door, and there we are. It's just great. Best time I ever had. And they actually caught fish. I think these fish are probably starving. Or maybe they're just trying to get out of the ice and they'll take anything. Maybe they just want to die a little bit warmer. I have no idea, but they're popping out of this ice. So fine. That was a great day, one to remember. Next day, day 9, we're in Ulan Ude. Now this is a very different looking Russian population. We go to the first statue of Lenin that I have seen where he looks Chinese. He looks Asian. And I look around, everybody looks Asian. This is Tibetan. There's a huge Tibetan Buddhist monastery that has not been destroyed by Russia. It still exists. It's right here. The highest ranking lamas are here in Russia. I'm like, wow, this is nice. Thank you, Russia, for letting them exist. And this is amazing. They have one of the most sacred things in the Tibetan world. In the Buddhist world, there is this sacred man, and he was meditating when he died. So they buried him. And then for some reason, they dug him up many years later. And his skin was perfect. I mean, a little different than usual, but all intact on him. And he was still sitting up, meditating. Like, I don't even know anybody who's done this before. So they put him in this amazing temple, and you can go inside, but you can't bring any cameras. So you go and you see this guy, and he's just a little darker than usual, but he really looks like he's alive, and he really looks like he's still praying. So, and it's amazing that they let other people go in. So that was great, and it kind of left me in an odd mood. So we're back on the train and having a little bit more vodka and, you know, caviar, which is, it tastes like stars when it's fresh. When you're in Russia, it doesn't taste like it's been in a jar for like 2 years. It tastes, it pops in your mouth like stars. That's what they call it. It was like when I got my first can, I was like, yeah, it tastes like not stars. Not at all like stars, like little round balls. But here they just pop. So you can't get enough of this stuff. And you don't get fat no matter how much you eat of this. And it, you never get filled up. So this is what I'm craving the entire time. And it's the most expensive thing, which is always my bag. And it's not Dom Perignon every time with the champagne. Champansky. But it's a nice bottle always. So I'm just getting my money's worth. And that's how I like to travel. So our next stop is this place called, wait a minute. Oh yeah, I'm not there yet. Okay, the next place is Mongolia. Yeah, there's nothing else I gotta do. I don't have to go to some other place and see something I don't wanna see or hear a poignant story. I'm in Mongolia now. Ulaanbaatar. Now the city is growing. It's got like cranes all around, which is kind of odd, but when you're coming into the city, you see yurts. You see, and it's snowing, but they're living and they've got smoke coming out of it. They're actually in there. You know it. So that's great. And then you get to this city. It's okay. And, you know, the train stops and I got to go to a Buddhist monastery. This time there's 500 monks inside. And it's funny because this city was the capital of Genghis Khan's enormous empire. Now that guy had some anger management problems. He really did. And they've got the biggest Buddhist monastery here with 500 monks. And so this very same place that was the capital for Genghis Khan is also the capital for these people. And they call this the great place of complete peace. I don't know if Genghis Khan is rolling in his grave or he thinks that's funny, or maybe he likes it for all I know. But it's funny that the same place has these two distinct, very, it's got a complicated storyline. That's all I can say. You know, so the guide's trying to explain it to us and I'm just not really understanding it. I really don't care because I'm looking at the people and they are great looking. So then we get to this huge Genghis Khan statue, the equestrian statue of Genghis Khan, and I swear to you, I have never seen anything more beautiful in my life. It's the most gorgeous statue, and you get a feeling of awe. These people are artistic, and they placed it on the hill beautifully. Very distinguished. Very amazing. So that was worth it. Then, you know, we meet a nomadic family, which I've always wanted to do, and they really do exist, and they really do get by. Drinking yak milk and yak butter, and there were actually yaks around. So really happy for them, really proud of them. If there's a nuclear war, they will survive. They know how to do it. They survive on very little water, very little everything, and they're very beautiful. Their skin is great. So obviously they're getting everything they need. But that then I want to go to lunch at the Modern Nomad, which I've heard about. So we get there. Of course, I got my driver, right? And kids all up for anything as long as it's heated. And so there we are. We go to the Modern Nomad. And I didn't read the brochure carefully because the first meal they serve us, the bowl that they're using is a lamb's head. And I don't mean a skull. I mean head. I mean like his nose is there and just not into it. So I thank them very much and ask them if I can have their other specialty, and that arrives, and that's sheep's tongue and snout, and I'm like, okay, what do Americans order when they come here? And so that was a winner, because that is lamb, beautifully cooked lamb, in a sauce that you want to drink. So Mongolia gave me everything I could have wanted. I mean, seriously. Just seeing Mongolia in the snow. I mean, just looking at the countryside and yurts and people living out there. It's just the most amazing, true-to-life thing that all these years later, they're still living like that. The city's kind of changing, and that's kind of sad. And the Mongolians never believed in two-story buildings because they wanted their head to be the what is close to heaven. They didn't want any ceilings. It kept you from being one with God and nature. So that's where the yurts come in, and that's why they always wanted to be outside. Now they're for the first time building skyscrapers. So the rest of the world is investing in Mongolia, which makes them happy and sad at the same time. So then we get back on the train, which thank God I have a huge room. Thank God I love our waiter slash guy who takes care of us and does our laundry even, which is the coolest thing. Because we're on for 3 days. 3 days. Like, seriously. 3 days of straight travel. Now this was amazing. Because we traveled through 8 time zones. And we covered 6,600 miles. So, we end up in this city called Vladivostok. Of course, you've heard of that one. And, the good thing about this trip is they didn't have to wean me. Because really, day 2 of my straight train travel, the caviar started tasting like fish eggs. Fish eggs. The champagne, I wanted a Sprite, actually. So this was the greatest trip ever because I wanted it to be over when it was over. I've never wanted that before. I was done with it. And so we get to Vladivostok and it's got nothing. It's the military capital of Russia, and actually people weren't allowed to see it for like 30 years because that's where they had all of their secret weapons and stuff. I get a bad feeling here. It reminds me that I've been in Russia this whole time. And so I'm actually really, and my hotel in Vladivostok is Russian. Man, it's not good. So it's got like a, you know, scratchy robe and the soap is brown. I'm just saying, I want to get out now. This is the first time I really feel like I'm in Russia, the Russia of my discontent. So I'm very happy when this is over. The next morning I board my plane. I'm not the least bit depressed. Nobody's hurt my feelings. I leave them laughing on the train. They leave me laughing on the train. It's the best trip ever. So, you know, I just wanted to go back to America where they don't kill aristocrats. We don't kill our aristocrats. We just try to figure out how we can tax them and they can't slip out of it. Love America. Loved my trip. Love Mongolia. Love Moscow. Love Dr. Zhivago. So it was a dream come true. I mean, we didn't even freeze, not that often. It was spectacular. And I lived a dream. So thanks for coming along. And I don't know what I got next. I mean, that was a biggie. It was such a biggie that I even almost blocked it. It was so big that it seemed impossible to me too. But you know what? If you've got the money, everything's possible. And when you don't have the money, if you have a good imagination, then everything's almost possible. I mean, if you can just relax, it feels like you were there. So I will talk to you later. Thanks. Bye-bye.